Welcome to our first official episode of A Mid-Portland Night Scene.
We're so appreciative that you are joining us.
Yes, very much so. And you may notice, if you're watching, we're not in the studio.
We're not in the studio because we have had a snowstorm.
Yeah, it's been a pretty intense time. Something that I realized that we mentioned in our episode zero is that we live in Portland, but we live in Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Maine, or Portland, other places. We're in Portland, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon, when it snows, it shuts down. Yeah, it's getting a little dark, but we have had to reschedule a recording for quite a bit. And we just said, you know what?
We're gonna do it pandemic style, baby. Yeah, we do have a lot to share.
For the pre-show, which we're in right now, something that I wanted to bring up is that there's a lot of movie musicals in the theaters right now.
There really are. It's kind of wild, and I have a lot to catch up on. I haven't seen any of them.
It's wild because they have not been advertised as movie musicals.
Oh my God, people are verklempt.
I just, as a theater kid, I feel like you are completely like cutting off a whole demographic of people who want to go see the musical. By not making it a musical, but I haven't looked into like the economics of it all and the polls and the things.
I think that they're thinking rather than musical out, they're thinking outside in, like they're trying to get more people to see it.
But you know, I'm like,
but then people be mad.
If you're a person who is not a fan of musicals and you pay whatever horrible price it is to go see movies these days, and you sit down to go watch Mean Girls, and you think that you're going to go see Mean Girls,
and they're like,
"Your name is Regina George," and you're like, "What the heck?" I'd be mad.
Mm-hmm. People are really mad. Like the amount of, I've seen all these TikToks about people going to go see The Color Purple, and they're all dressed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They go, and they're like, "Why are they singing so much?"
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So there's The Color Purple, there's Mean Girls, and then there's also Wonka, which is the Willy Wonka musical. There is a Willy Wonka Charlie and the Chocolate Factory musical on Broadway. Well, not on Broadway. It's been on Broadway and the West End. And I don't know if it is
if it's the same one.
Yeah. Or if they recreated something, because I'm not a huge fan of that story. And
there's a lot there.
There's a lot. Yeah, so
there's a lot of racist stuff there.
Yeah, that's a Roald Dahl thing, kind of, but we don't have to get into that right now.
No.
So we haven't seen any of the musicals, but we're really curious to potentially go and see them in the future.
Yeah, let us know if you're like interested in hearing our take or something. I don't know.
I mean, I will give a take if I go see it regardless. So
that's true. Ready or not, boo, here we come.
All right, let's get into Act One, which is super exciting.
Yeah, we got to go see a show.
Yay.
And I'm like really excited to talk about it because it felt like this is really happening.
Yeah. So we had the wonderful opportunity of going to go see the Lion King touring national tour in Portland with our correspondent, Morgan. And we really got to experience the Lion King. And I did a little research and I want to give a little bit of like, I know I have.
Bless you, dear.
So the Lion King is kind of a big deal in all of their, in all of the marketing that they do. They call it the world's number one musical. It has over 70 global theatrical awards, including Best Musical at the Tonys in 98.
That's 2 years after it came out.
I believe that the stage production in Broadway came out in 96 or 97. The movie came out, I believe, in 94. So it was a pretty quick turnaround.
It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, a pretty quick turnaround. And it is a huge, 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 huge spectacle, as we will talk about. There are over 300 costume changes.
Wow.
In a show. It has been performed in 5 different languages. around.
Wow.
And it's the longest running show, or the third longest running show on Broadway right now.
Okay.
So when The Lion King came out, it kind of took the world by storm. And we are still having flurries from the storm because mm-hmm. everyone wants to go see The Lion
mm-hmm.
King.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want to speak a little bit about the significance of The Lion King in our childhood.
My gosh. First off, not related at all. Our dad's name is Simba.
Oh my God. I was like, I forgot. Until we were watching it, they were like, Simba. And I was like,
and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That's dad's yes. name. Both but that's parents. Like,
are yeah, from the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Uh-huh. And apparently Simba means like twin, because he's a twin. Mm-hmm. It means a twin for in Congo. Like, so that's like a very separate thing. But growing up and watching that movie and then having my dad named Simba, it was just a big deal. Like, I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
Did you ever have, like, I remember going, because we were homeschooled and I was homeschooled until middle school. And I remember going to middle school and having people be like, oh, are your parents from Africa? And it's like, yes. It's like, oh, was your dad's name Simba or something? And it's like,
you're like, literally, yes.
Yes. So. Like, oh my God. Oh. Like, all this, it's like this person trying to be like the most stereotypical and racist. And like, I'm like,
and you're like, but literally, yes.
Did that ever happen to you?
That did.
A struggle.
I mean, we grew up in Idaho. Of course it did, boo. So, yeah, like, but like, The Lion King, the original Lion King,
the
was
movie.
Just like the movie, was a very classical. I think it was a very big deal to a lot of children when it first came out. I had the little, like, I don't know what I had. I think I had a quilt that had.
I remember the quilt. And we had the stuffies, too, of Simba.
Yeah, the little stuff. Yeah, the stuffies. But then the best thing has ever happened to us came out after.
Facts.
Oh my goodness, it's The Lion King too.
No,
oh
like,
my God.
The fact that people do not know about the wonderful blessings on blessings.
I watched it the other day. I sure did. I watched it during the snow. Storm. I watched it during the snowstorm after everybody in my house like decided to go do other things, like play in the snow. I was like, boo, you know what I am gonna do? Well, first off, my birthday was not long ago, and I was like driving from, because you and I had sushi together, and then I drove to Pip's after to get my free donuts, and the whole way I was like, deception, disgrace. Like, it was like I was bumping that, so I was like, I have to watch it. I don't even know how we stumbled across The Lion King 2, because it wasn't like it was advertised in the same way.
I feel like it was straight to DVD.
Oh yeah, it's giving that. I don't even think they had a soundtrack, because the reason why I say that is because our parents in their bedroom had like this like cassette recorder, and there was a TV on top of it. And so the youngins don't know what we used to do for the music these days, but we would take turns while watching the movie, putting the microphone to the television so we could listen to the cassette tape of the songs, because we loved it so much. I still think that if I were going to do the Broadway thing, I would take a song from that as an audition song.
Oh, yes. It's so good. So good. Like, if you have not seen The Lion King 2, it's amazing.
Also,
absolutely amazing.
Kovu, the hottest lion on earth.
I knew you were going to say this. This is a
fine. Maybe it's whack. It's not like I'm into real bestiality or anything. But let me let you know right now, Kovu is a fine lion. Fine.
So all of the Lion King movies are actually based on Shakespeare plays. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So The Lion King is Hamlet, and The Lion King 2 is Romeo and Juliet. And then The Lion King 1.5 is it's a play that's written based off of a Hamlet, like a retelling that's called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, because there's two characters in Hamlet called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. They're kind of like the clowns. But I thought that was just a fun tidbit.
I did not know that.
It was a big deal for us to go to The Lion King. Like we were I don't know if I went in with huge expectations. I was just expecting to be
well. I really honestly won't even lie. We both worked a long day that day. So we were a little like, begin with.
Yeah, I went in feeling like, oh my God. I'm going to go see a show. I know I love going to go see a shows, but all I want to do is be in my rocking chair and knit. I was very tired.
I was extremely exhausted. But like, holy, 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 were we woken up?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so I don't know if we, like, I want to paint the scene a little bit. So we're in the Keller Auditorium, which I actually do not know how many seats are in there, but it feels like...
But I don't know.
It's a lot. And
there's a lot because there's the two levels.
Balcony.
Yeah.
And we were in orchestra seats, which are, like, not super far from the stage. Like, I'd say, like, we had really, really good seats.
Mm-hmm.
And they start with Rafiki coming out, and she's starting the circle of life. And from every door and every balcony in the space, there are puppets.
There's puppets, there's people, they're singing. It's wild. Like
it was, that was shockingly what, like it was a spectacle. I was like, wow.
I literally was like, oh my gosh.
And we're not talking like puppets, like little like.
We're talking puppets. About like entire human beings, like multiple human beings in a puppet.
There was an elephant. There were giraffe people. Stilts. There were bird ladies with birds on their heads. And so it was beautiful.
Yeah, there was so much beauty. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. And so we for sure got woken up.
And it was so beautiful. Well, that's the thing too about like The Lion King in general is that like there's always like that nugget of nostalgia that happens because it's like we all know the circle of life. So it already takes this like high, like you're already like about to ride a wave you're used to. And then there's like a human elephant and these beautiful, like, you know what I mean? And everybody's singing their harmonies. And woo, when I say, them dancers,
they were going.
The dancers were dancing on the dance of all dances that could ever dance.
I was watching some videos about the, I'm trying to find the choreographer in here, but I was watching some like background video about the choreographer.
Oh, I would love to see that. I should have done that before this episode.
I do not know why I cannot see what is going on with the choreographer here. But the choreographer was just talking about like making choreography to like enhance the story and the body of the people and not necessarily like use the masks as like the masks and the puppets. Like they didn't want to hide those, but then they also didn't want to hide the people who were
walking.
Yeah, and inside. So it was really interesting to see like the intricacies of that. So the person who directed the original Broadway and did additional lyrics and book and all that, her name is Julie Taymor. And I was watching some videos about that earlier, and it's really...
It was a woman?
Yes, yes. Julie Taymor directed. And she hand-carved most of the masks. Like, you can watch videos of her.
Nuh-uh.
Like, hand-carving these masks. She, like, really, really was the push behind spectacle. Like, how do we take these animated lions and put them on stage? We're going to do spectacle to really enhance the story, to put it on stage. She was really excited about, like, all the mechanics of things and stuff. But something that's really interesting about Julie Taymor is that she is famously known for The Lion King. But then she's also famously known for probably one of Broadway's largest flops, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Have you ever heard?
No, nope, sure haven't.
It cost, I don't know the actual number, but millions and millions and millions of dollars. There were Spider-Mans flying from the ceiling and stuff. I've seen some clips of it and it's terrible. It's bad, 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 bad. If you ever want a good laugh, go ahead and listen to the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark
music,
because it's bad. And so, like, I had heard her name from Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark because I'd watched many documentaries and stuff, but I didn't remember her. Like, the reason they brought her on there was because they were like, this is a big spectacle. There were lots of things that went into that. So it was really interesting to see like her artistry and it actually work. Cause I had only seen it in
a flop situation.
Light. Yeah. And like,
interesting.
So it was really interesting. But I found the interpretation of The Lion King to be really interesting. Like, we've talked about like the music, and speaking of the music, there was one song from The Lion King.
From 2. The Lion King 2.
That was what? One of my favorite moments.
Honestly, when it started to play, I had no idea that it was going to happen. And it felt like walking into a new place and it smelling exactly like your childhood home in a good way.
Yes. Yes.
It was so lit. It
lives in you. Which I know all this trivia apparently from doing my research.
Yeah, you really do.
But so in the original Lion King, there's only 5 songs, which I was like, are you serious? There's only 5 songs. There's only 5 songs. Those were written.
What?
By, like 5 songs with lyrics. Those were written by Elton John and like Hans Zimmer, right?
Hans Zimmer is out here chokehold on the community.
Seriously. And so a year or two after the original Lion King came out, there was like an experimental, like inspired by the movie album that came out by Le Boheme and Mark Messina. These two people, I believe both or one of them, especially Lebo, are from South Africa. And He Lives in You, the song that is from The Lion King 2, came from that CD.
That makes sense.
And so they wrote the remaining music and the additional music with consultation of Elton John for the rest of the show, because they're like, we can't do a Broadway musical with 5 songs.
No.
I think that would have been okay if they left some of the songs out.
Oh, I agree. So this is, let's do positives. First off, if I were to be in this show, my main goal and dream would be to be one of the dancers.
Yeah.
In the Lionesses specifically, there was something about the way that the Lionesses' movements, their grief, it was like Black woman honor situation to me.
I feel like the combination of, like, it felt very like intersectional Black woman, like empowerment. You know, it was just like, come on, we're all women of color on this stage and we are holding this community down. Mm-hmm. And I felt that through their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Off the kids who played Nala and young Simba. Like, there were moments where young Nala would come out and there are all these like tall women dancing and like really putting their body into it. And then young Nala's doing the exact same thing as them. And I'm like,
I'm like growing community, boo, grow.
I know. It just really felt like you could see the stepping stones of the community being built on the backs of the women and them having that like pride in that. So that was really
great. Not the pride.
The pride rock.
That's their pride. I'm dying. LOL. Okay, anyway. But it's true. There's just so many beautiful ways that they express in community in that. The dancing, the costumes.
Costumes. Over 300 costume changes. I don't
even understand.
It takes 4 big trucks to move the show from place to place. And I'm just like, oh my God, that is so much moving. There's 5 stage managers. stage managers are the people that call the show, that make sure the people are where they need, like stage managers literally run the show. The director doesn't move around with the show. The stage managers do. And there's five of them.
Yeah. It makes total sense. There's so many moving pieces that create such a beautiful cacophony of like things, simulation.
Yeah. And something that I found out is that in every iteration, because I believe that we saw the first national tour, potentially. We saw the national tour. And I think there's multiple of them going at the same time.
Oh, wow.
As well as on the West End and in different countries. Mm-hmm. And every cast has at least six people from South Africa.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah,
it's actually like keeps such a cool like level of it. Also has an authentic like Africa feel to it, you know, and so I really appreciate that. Like, and it doesn't feel what I was concerned about, I think, before watching it was that it would feel like a force. Like we're doing Africa for you.
Yeah.
And as an African, like American.
Yeah.
Like it just first gen African. Like it's especially now that like Africa is like popular again. When we were young, bro. I would be listening to music and people would be like, ew. And coming from all sides, like it wasn't just like the white kids we grew up with. It was our Texan cousins' friends and like da da da. Like it just was like,
yeah,
from every avenue. It was
trendy
like
to be African.
Yeah, you know. Whereas like now, you know. It's a different story. Everybody's out here like, this is my Gente cloth from, it's vintage and it's amazing.
Yeah. The thing that I think that is really like, that I want to connect to that is that, like, I think that in our society now, we have a lot more visibility of like African communities and like African countries than there was in the past. Because like,
oh, I agree.
There are many of people who would do this now, but I remember people like telling people that our parents are from Congo and then being like, oh my God, do you need money? Like, are they from, like, did they live
in? Oh my God, I remember this.
The diversity of like African cultures and countries is so prevalent. And I think that for such a long time, like Western culture, like only perpetuated like one narrative.
Yeah, the Huts.
So I think that with visibility, there's been a lot more like, look into the wonderfully, beautifully diverse livelihoods of the many different countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. And I think that specifically from like coming on an American perspective, things like Black Panther and stuff like mm-hmm. that have absolutely. Really like brought out this like...
honestly, even the Lion King remake with like Beyonce.
Yes, exactly.
And Childish Gambino. Like it just, it's taken a different situation. How,
like African countries or African cultures can look. And I think from my perspective, the Lion King was like Wakanda or like a different look into African culture.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
At the time. And I think that was really apparent while we were watching it.
Yes. Oh, totally.
Like you could see like in the 90s, like, this was it. Like, this was...
I mean, the thing also about, like... So, costume... Talking about costumes, but, like, on a more chill version of costumes. Like, not, like, the puppets of it all and the face paint of it all. Which were all, like, impeccable and really beautiful. But when you look at, like, some of the things that they were wearing under... I was, like, I would walk out... They need to do a fashion show. Yeah. Like, I would walk out here with some streetwear right this second. Like, and if that, like, that just felt so, like, especially because, like, the 90s style is coming back, you know?
Yeah. We're all...
So it was just, like, there's so many details in that.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so many details.
So much so much that went into it that you can really see. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, we can go into some of the things that, like, weren't so much our favorite. Mm-hmm. Because there were some things. It's really interesting. I think after watching this, I learned that, like, The Lion King, like, the musical in of itself is not necessarily my favorite.
No. I think, so, like, this is the thing. I don't know that, like, one has to recreate this story. I don't think that I really liked the live action Lion King. I think I've only seen it once.
I watched it once, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, like, I just don't know that there was, like, and I get it, because it's, like, new generations should be, like, can be introduced in different ways, right? Like, it was the bee's knees for my generation, the cartoon, right? Like, the original version of it. And I just, like, don't know that I've attached to any other situation in the same way. I could see it, I could see that, but I also just don't necessarily like getting fed the basically the same thing in the first act with a different salt on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that when I'm thinking of like intellectual properties that have been brought up on stage, like Mean Girls or something else.
Legally Blonde. Every time.
I'm at a loss right now for different ones, but like things that were movies before or were an idea and then came be brought to Broadway. Of course, Greece. The stories are really similar.
Yeah.
Grease was a musical first, actually.
Shut up.
Uh-huh. We watched it last night. That's why I know that.
Yeah.
But it changes. Like, it's a little bit different. And I think those musicals in ways like elevate the story. And I feel like the ways that the changes happened within this musical were not my favorite. And I think took away from the story.
That's just, yeah. And it's like from two millennials that are like attached to the very first one, right? Like, you know, I think that for some people, it is really great to hear that, like, you know, apparently with every city they go to, they find out some fact that they can like put in to the show, you know? So at some point it was like the Tillamook cheese, you know, or whatever. And people were like, what? And I was like, you know, but yeah. I think that that can also like, not everything has to be for me. I know.
Yeah.
You okay. know, there were definitely things about, I think that the spectacle of it for 2 hours and 20 minutes long was a long time.
It was. And I think after having worked a really long day and being like already tired when we got there, I think that that also like was a part of the experience as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like we so, brought like, in our lives.
I remember like we got to intermission and we were like, okay, like this is going well, like, all right. And then the second act started. And that's where I think that the story, like the ways in which they told the story was a little bit more different than the first half was mm-hmm. than the movie. And that's where things just started getting a little wonky for me.
Oh, I mean, okay. So like, I want to clarify and state, I see the artistry, I see the performers, I see y'all, I love y'all, y'all are killing it. There are some things in the book of that play that did not need to be there and has no business being there in 2024. Like, for real, for real, for real, for real, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Did we talk about how, are we going to talk about it?
We're going to talk about it.
Thank God. Can I bring it up now?
Huh?
Okay. Y'all, there is a moment where Scar is preying on a quite young Nala. And I could feel my skin crawl in a way, like no one on stage. That is, unless you're trying to go deep or really illustrate, you should never be saying, if I can't have you, no one can. basically a child.
I think it was weird. Well, I want to clarify, it wasn't with young Nala. Like,
no, it wasn't with young Nala, but it still is like
version of her. But Scar was around young Nala when she was like a cub. And so you can feel the age gap because they're like, that's what they illustrated. And for like this, like children's movie experience to then have a song. It was a song where like Scar is like forcefully trying to seduce Nala. That was really,
it jarred the fark out of me.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. And like I had a coworker who I saw and she found me the next day. And I was like, so what did you think of that part? She was like, my 10-year-old was, she was like, mom, he's too old for her. I'm uncomfortable. And so
yeah.
I'm like, that was really, that was.
I am like not trying to go on the deepest of rants, but it's going to be a rant anyway. That had nothing to do with the fucking story. And that is giving really ill. It's giving really ill. And also it's confusing because there's been so much like in the last, since 20 years since this show, 30 years. God, fuck. Wow. It's been 30 years since this show has come out. There's been so much analysis about queer-coded characters and how Scar is a really big one. And so like, it felt very like, one, like, okay, interesting interpretation. Queerness comes in many a fucking layer, obviously, and it's not confirmed that he's queer. But also, like, two, if you hold that lens, and I'm not trying to hold that lens, but there's that fucked up narrative amongst certain people that queer people are ill in that way, that are pedophiles, and I don't think that that's great. And I did not appreciate that. I don't know if that's related.
I think that it just took a lot of the conversations we've been having around like productions and art and safety with like femmes and like people around stuff. It just felt like that piece didn't age well, and it wasn't a part of the original to my memory. And so it just
it wasn't
here. And so, yeah. Like, I feel like the second half, there were definitely more moments where we were like, what is happening? Because there were those everything that I think I was like, what is happening here was a divergent from the original.
Yes.
Like an ad or a sprinkle or something. And that was. Those were the pieces where I found it like struggling for me a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that the final experience that I had in the show, and it felt kind of like a fever dream. When they, at the very end, they're singing The Circle of Life again. And the way that all the people were moving was like very lyrical and beautiful. And so adult Simba is like elegantly shoulder walking up Pride Rock. And it's like, the circle of life in the back. And there are the like birds on these like poles going around everyone's head.
And everybody's like.
And this woman in front of us is just snip snapping pictures. Snip snapping without.
She was snip snapping the entire time, boo.
The entire second half, snip snapping, and like I looked around me with the lens of my Tuesday tired after work, and I was like, I need to go home. Like this is beautiful.
I was just overstimulated.
I love this. I need to go home.
I think also it's so funny too, because like no one really talks about like what a phone does or what a like a screen will do in that setting. Like we talked about how like a theater can be like church when you're like,
and she took it out.
And like she took it out of the, and it's like, I'm not trying to say that this Yeah, but it just takes you out of the thing. Like sometimes, like I feel like a lot of times, like I don't take a lot of pictures of things that I experience because I rather experience them than take the picture. That. Right. And like, it's, I don't think that it's like one is better than the other. Yeah. Like I think, well, in some ways, you know, like, and within balance, but like, I just much rather experience it and like to have been so like maybe jostled by the new things that I wasn't expecting in the story. And then also to be like slightly overstimulated to have this woman taking her pictures really felt like, okay, we're sitting in a theater. There's a lot going on right now.
It took us out. Like we were immersed and it like just like shot us right out. And as a performer, I know that those people could see her phone. Like on stage, you can see phones. Like there's an actress, Patti LuPone, who like famously, while she was in Company, or was it Company? I think it was Company. Like someone was snip snapping pictures and she went and was like, give me your phone from stage. And she took the person's phone because performers can see that. And so like, I feel like it not only took me out because I could see her physical phone. but as a performer, I was like that. I was so angry and in my head about her phone being out that I was just having such a hard time processing that really beautiful ending to the play.
Yeah. I also think that like it's the height of spectacle, and for it to have taken such a spectacle moment, it just was like, I just, you know, and it's also like, yeah, there's just a lot of layers to it. And I just found it just really, for some reason, it just really took me out.
Yeah. So like overall, I'm really glad that we got the opportunity to go to the show. I agree. There were so many beautiful aspects of it. I think that the spectacle and the puppets and just being able to see like how many people put effort into creating this beautiful thing. And like, it's not very often that you get to see that many people of color on stage.
No, it was like so many.
In a play not like completely like sad. I mean, it's a sad play.
But it has like such a nostalgic, positive feeling to it that it's like, yeah, it's sad, but everybody kind of knows where they're going with it. It was not like some, you know, sometimes when you have that many people on stage, you're like, are you all slaves?
Yes. Yeah. No, seriously. Like and we'll talk about this in our February episode, but a lot of Black plays or Black musicals are like about segregation or are about struggle, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, those stories need to be told.
Oh, of course.
Those are the only story that are
being... That you're seeing.
It can be really, like, demoralizing as a Black or POC when only your struggle is told on stage. Mm-hmm. The struggle of your ancestors. Mm-hmm. And that can be really tiring. Mm-hmm. And so it was really beautiful to be able to see this play in this way.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's talk about the Hyenas really quickly, because we are going to be interviewing we're not interviewing. Our correspondent, Morgan, got the wonderful opportunity of interviewing Martina Sykes and Forrest Van Dyke, who play Shenzi and Banzi. And I want to talk about their performance a little bit, because it was really beautiful.
It really was. Like, honestly, I think that was, like, first off, their costumes are so fascinating. I could have seen the costumes up close, because I just found them to be really fascinating. And the way that they were able to express, like, just even the head movements, like, did a thing. And I just thought that was really cool. And plus, they were singing their whole asses off.
Seriously. It really, really was an intense performance. And I'm really sad that we didn't get to interact with them and ask them questions, but Morgan, our correspondent, is such a wonderful interviewer, and they really go into a lot about their costumes, which was super to see. And so with that, Conda, do you have anything else that you want to share?
I mean, I just like want to state that I think that this interview is quite the beauty, like hearing their, both of their journeys to The Lion King, their journeys to New York. Like, it was really, as an artist, I really appreciated them being vulnerable and sharing where they're coming from. So,
So with that, we're going to pass you over to Act Two, and the interview with Martina Sykes and Forrest Van Dyke with our correspondent, Morgan.
I am Morgan Jones. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have two cast members from The Lion King on tour right now in Portland. We have Martina Sykes and we also have Forrest Van Dyke. Will you guys give me a little bit about yourselves? I'll start with you, Martina, please.
My name is Martina Sykes. I am from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm a PK. For those that don't know what a PK is, I'm a preacher's kid. So I always grew up singing, dancing in church. I went to an arts magnet program for elementary, middle, and high school. Okay. Went to the University of Florida, go Gators. Ooh, and I got my degree in public relations. So I took a break from theater. And my brother, who is a Broadway Tony-nominated actor, ooh, Ephraim Sykes, had to throw that in there.
Yeah. the family, we see it.
He called me and asked me to come audition in New York. He was like, Marty, I think that this is what you're supposed to do. I just feel it. And so I moved to New York on a trial basis. And then it has worked out ever since. And I've been with the show since 2017.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay, I'm coming right back to that because you just dropped too many little gems in there for me to not come back to that. But Forrest, please give us your little intro.
Okay. I've been with the show since 2022, so I'm a newbie compared to Martina. My name is Forrest Van Dyke. I'm from Austin, Texas. I lived in New York for 15 years before I joined the tour. Wow. My dad was a music major. He was always really encouraging for me to pursue my dream of being an actor and a singer, and just my love of the arts. And that's what I do now. And I love every minute.
Absolutely incredible. One of my favorite things as a consumer of art and not a person who is a performer in that way is watching the curtain call and seeing, the energy from an audience is sort of amazing when you're just watching y'all receive that kind of love, right? And I always get a little bit teary because I'm like, these people are living their dreams. It's so amazing. Like, and is that what it feels like? Are you just living your dream, Forrest?
Yeah, I will say yes, I am living my dream. The reality of my dream is different than I expected it to be.
Ooh,
so that's a bar. There are elements of work that I didn't expect, but also ways that I have to care for myself that I didn't expect to come along with this dream. But when I'm on stage with Martina and Robbie Swift, who plays Ed, I have the best time in the world. You know, we are really purely playing. And that's what I always wanted to do in my room alone with my, you know, make-believe scenarios that I'd make up. You know what I mean? Like, I am doing the thing that I wanted to do in my little room in Austin, Texas. I'm doing that right now, every day. I'm living my dream. It is different than I expected it to be.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I think that we definitely get a different view of what somebody's dream is, right? Mm-hmm. And our idea of what the dream is or how to actually achieve it and then live in it. Totally different things. Totally different things. I'm going to move forward. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it.
He did.
He said it. The he dream did. And the reality are so separately.
There you go, Martina.
So you've been in the cast since 2015 and you play?
Oh, 2017.
17, I'm sorry.
Yes, and I play Shinzi, the girl hyena.
And Forrest, you play?
Banzai.
Yes. Martina. When was your theater awakening? Like, your brother said, I think you should do this, but was that it for you? Or were you already sort of having that in mind?
No, I wanted to be an image consultant.
Okay. Everybody stop.
I really did because I So when I went to UF, I worked with the football team. Okay. Doing like recruiting high school football players. And I would just watch people's interviews and like some were great and some were not. And yes. Learning, I felt like African-Americans were at a disadvantage when it came to like just having the right media training.
Media presence. Yeah.
And so then we started, you know, I would just be like, maybe we should answer the question this way. Or instead of saying, take a deep breath, you know what I mean? But I was also in PR, so we were learning those things at the same right. time. And so I was like, I would love to go into that field and just like, you know, helping people do damage control if there's bad press or, you know, helping people prep for media conferences or press conferences and different things like that, because I just saw that there was a need for it. So that's actually what I wanted to do. But then when I got to New York and I started auditioning, and I got a lot of confirmation really fast.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And then the love for singing and acting and dancing, it just sparked again. And I think it wasn't until I did Motown, the musical. That was my first Broadway show. And when we got to opening night, I just cried. And I was standing on stage in the wings, and I remember, like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
I have goosebumps right now, because that's the thing. Like, yeah. People realizing this is where I'm supposed to be, I just want us all to be able to do that. You
yeah.
know?
Yes.
Like, what a world it would be if we could just be doing what we want to do and what we're meant to do and what makes everybody happy.
Yes.
That's an incredible story. Like, I can't get over just your brother being like, hey, I think this is what you're supposed to do. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to trial basis go to New York.
Oh, because it wasn't that simple. He called every day. He called. I'm a planner. I'm like, this is my plan. I'm sticking to this plan. And he was like, he is a dreamer. And he has like a blinding sort of faith. So he's just going to step out there and go. And he was like, you got to do it. You got to try it. You got to do it. This is not, you're doing what you're good at. You're not doing what you're meant to do. Ooh. And so I was like, no, I don't have the money. I don't have this. New York is expensive. Mm. It has rats. Like, no.
Pass.
And he called every day for a month until I graduated. And then he was like, give it 6 months. I'll pay for your first 3 months of rent. Okay, he lied. When I got there, he was like, okay, so I'm going to need that rent.
He was like, I meant you can stay on my couch.
I meant you can stay. I'm going to blow up mattress.
Yeah, I'm going to pay my rent and you can live here.
Yeah. Yes. That's what he said. But I thought I had the first 3 months free. So I was like, well, I just finished my internship. I don't have a job. You know, let me try. And then within the first 2 weeks, I had booked a show.
No,
I booked a workshop.
Okay. Let's get into the meat of this then. Auditioning. Because what I'm hearing from you is immediate confirmation that, yes, I'm getting booked. People like what I'm able to do. That is not everybody's story, obviously, no. Right? I want to know what the process of auditioning is like. And from both of you, because there's differences, gotta be, between gender, and there's always going to be differences when we're talking about Black people, period. So I would love to know. And Forrest, if you could start with the auditioning process for you, because you knew this was something you wanted to do, right?
Yes. However, I went to a school for theater, to do straight plays or things that are not musicals. And so when I went to New York, I saw the things that were hiring and that were paying the most were musicals. So I thought, and I had taken a voice lessons and I was a singer and I had an interest, but I didn't know how to do it. So I showed up to my first audition. They said to bring your book. I didn't know what that meant. So I had my sheet of music and I had a novel with me.
Forrest.
I'm serious. I'm so serious. And I'm sitting in the waiting area and I see everyone with binders. And they're opening it, and I see other pieces of music. I'm like, is that what they meant? And I go into the audition room, and I sing my song. Luckily, they said, oh, we don't need to hear anything else. But I was like, oh, I felt like I was constantly playing catch up for like the first 5 years I was in New York, because I didn't know repertoire. I didn't know what they were looking for. I didn't know what my quote unquote type was. And if we're talking about, you know, being somebody who's Black in theater, you know, that's also a tricky thing, because I think we come in so many different shades and colors, mm-hmm. and I think it can be very limiting. So I try to think about, like, what are the roles I'm interested in, or what kind of stories do I want to tell, you know, so I don't limit myself. But that was my first, you know, arrival to New York, auditioning in New York musical theater. That was a wild ride.
What were you auditioning for?
I booked it, though. Yeah, I booked it. I did book it.
I want another book.
It was probably, you know, I'm a fantasy sci-fi nerd, so it was probably, it might have been Game of Thrones. Like one of the, before the Your HBO show came on.
I'm telling you. This little situation right here.
Yeah. Well.
Wait, so did they ask you about that book, or you just didn't take it in?
No, I didn't take it in with me.
Oh.
I brought my sheet of paper. I gave it to the pianist. Yeah. I gave it to the pianist. And if they had asked me for something else, I wouldn't have had anything else.
Right. That would have been the best story if they asked you and you told them, like, this is what I thought you meant by book. They would have booked you on a spot. They would have been like, he's brilliant. And then they did book you.
Ooh.
What'd you sing?
What did I sing? I sang something from Parade. It was, I think This Is Not Over Yet.
Okay.
And again, people, you know, after that, people told me, well, you can't sing that. It's not a Black person that sings that in the show. But I was like, yeah, but I like it. And I think I sound good doing this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what I sang.
That's an interesting thought, that you shouldn't sing a song that a Black person doesn't sing in the show. That's okay.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, it all turned out well.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Okay.
You booked, booked the show.
Stuck at both of you guys booking so quickly. So, Martina, how did it go for you?
Okay,
how
you so
get an audition. Let's do that first. How do you know? Where what do you do?
So there's websites, there's backstage.com, and you can go to auditions, and it lists the auditions for the week.
Oh.
And so it'll tell you what they're looking for, what you need to bring, like. So I would just look at that. I would look at playbill.com, broadwayworld.com, and they all have them listed. So I would have a little planner and, like, what can I hit up? What, you know, what am I right for? And of course, my brother helped me. And we have, like, a set of best friends that we grew up with. They're all artists as well. And we all live together in Brooklyn.
A collective.
Yeah. So we called our house the House of Talent.
See?
Yeah.
And a collective.
So they all helped me. Like, they took me to my first audition. Like, they helped me prepare my music. They would teach me dance, because they had been doing it. And, like, Forrest, I'm like, I'm playing catch up now, because I went and did something else. So I was surrounded by support and a lot of help. And so I went to an audition. And they had stopped seeing people. And then I was walking down, and I saw a door open for another audition, and people were just sitting there. So I was like, well, maybe they'll want my headshot and resume, since I didn't use it at the other one.
Right.
So I pretended that I didn't see the thing that said appointments only. Because they looked like they were on break.
I can't read.
Your door is open.
I'm just walking in.
So I knocked, and I was like, hi, I just wanted to drop off my headshot and resume. And they were like, are you ready right now? Our appointment's late.
Stop.
And I was like, sure. Had bronchitis, but sure.
I'm absolutely ready.
Ready. So I gave the guy my sheet music, and then I sang, and then he was like, okay, do it again. And this time, and they had me do, like, try it different ways. And then they were like, how fast do you think you can learn this? And I was like, try my best. Went outside for 5 minutes, came back with the size. They were like, okay, say it like this. Now do it. We're like, you're on speed. So it was just cool. And then found out that I booked it. But full disclosure, that was not my experience the entire time.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I said I got confirmation really quickly that I was supposed to do, because the next stretch
is not the same. Okay.
Was 90% no. It was 90% no. The doors were closing.
The universe works, right?
Yeah. So
it's like, okay, we got you here.
Yes.
You're where you're supposed to yes. be.
You know that you can do this. There's an open door. Now we're gonna test that character a little bit.
Yeah, yep. Make you work for it. What'd you sing?
I sung God Bless the Child, Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Over and over?
Yes.
Wow.
With bronchitis?
Yes.
And booked it?
Yes, because they were like, raspy, great, fantastic.
Like, you sound like this all the time, right? And you're like, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, all the time.
With a cough.
Wow. Yes. That's, okay. These are incredible stories.
Yes, Martina.
What was the audition process like for The Lion King, and what actual role you're playing today?
Yes, so I auditioned for Bonzai. I was asked to put myself on tape. So I did a song from the show, my own song, and then a scene on tape. I sent it in. I got confirmation that they wanted me back for a callback in person. And this was the first callback I had done in person since the pandemic.
Okay.
So I went in, I sang, I think Yesterday by the Beatles, I sang Chow Down, and I did the scene. They asked me back later that day to get into the puppet. So I did the same scene with the puppet on, which was very strange, very awkward. But then that night, my agent called me, and she said, how did it go? I said, I think they really liked me. They didn't have me do anything over. She was like, well, that's great because you booked it. And I started screaming in my apartment. I was like, because I worked 15 years, you know, for this kind of opportunity. And 2 days later, I went home to Austin for Thanksgiving. And as we're gathered around a table saying the grace, I tell my family and they're like, oh, my God.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah. So that was my audition. It was solely for Bonzai. Okay. And that was the process. And here I am.
I have questions about having the puppet on in just one second.
Yeah. Yes.
So like Forrest, I got called in for Shinzi and I did a self-tape. This is actually like my second go around with Lion King, because the first time I put myself on tape, flew to New York, and I went all the way up into the puppet, and it got down between me and one other girl, and they picked the other girl, and then they called me back again and was like, hey, we would love for you to come back in. So I was like, okay. So I came in, I did, I worked with the casting director one-on-one on that Monday. Then he brought me back for the creative team on that Wednesday. So I sang, I did Chow Down. I did both scenes. And I sung I Love You, I Do from Dreamgirls. And then they brought me back for the puppet. And this time I knew a little bit more with that, because that puppet, oof, when you first put that thing on, that is like a whole new world. Like, you're like, wait, what? I got my head and my arms and I got to walk on all fours. So I was like, okay, just get in it and have fun. So I tried different things and all of that. And while I was actually taking off the puppet and, you know, packing my backpack, I saw the director and the casting director whispering, and I heard the casting director say, oh, fine, just tell her. Mind you, I'm in a room with other people auditioning.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So they come over to me and they were like, you booked the role. And I started screaming. Oh. And they were like, shh, act normal. People are still auditioning. I was like, okay. So I had to, like, I walked out with straight feet like this. And I got into that dressing room and I just started screaming and I called my parents and we were just screaming.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What a way to hear, too.
Yeah. Right?
That's like a setup. Okay, just tell her, but make sure she's quiet about it, because there's other people around. Come on. Okay, give us a little bit more about this puppet, because as somebody watching it, I'm always like, I don't understand how anybody's doing anything in any of these. None of this makes sense to me. How? So, and especially the hyenas for as physical, like you guys are moving faster. There's just more movement, I guess. And it's not slow. Like, I don't know. what is it like? You're walking on, you're using all limbs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get in it?
So with the puppet, it's like a harness. It's like when you strap yourself in on a roller coaster. It's okay. That same kind of harness. And then it has like a strap around your waist. The puppet comes out of the front of your chest. And then you have a crank on your head that looks like the inside of a construction hat.
Okay.
That cranks in the back.
Okay.
So you put that on and it has two spikes that come out the side. So it has the wires that connect to the front of your puppet's head. So when you move your head, okay, the puppet moves its head. Yeah. And then you have one arm, your left arm, that's like a stationary arm. So it's closed in. The puppet arm is closed in. And then the other one on your right arm has an opening so you can take it out and talk with the puppet.
Okay. So I'm sorry. So then you have your arm in this thing at first at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your arm out of the opening and then you use.
Yeah. You want to explain the futon?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, the futon is the futon. The futon is like a bodysuit that's full of padding that you pour yourself into and zip yourself up in.
This is after the harness?
This is after the harness. So yeah, this is after the harness. You zip yourself up around the harness inside the futon. And there's also a hood attached that goes over the construction hat that Martina talked about. And there's a mane that connects the hood to the front of the puppet head as well. And that's the futon. And honestly, like, I feel as equal an athlete as I do an actor in this role.
Because
it is so physical. You are, you're bent over. You are having to negotiate, like, taking that right arm out or your left arm out and putting it into the puppet in time and, you know. But yeah, it's also interesting. Like, Martina was talking about this along with our director, Keith Bennett. Like, just, it feels like second nature now, but learning how to move as one with the puppet, but also think about how does a hyena move. It was the most exciting creative process, you know, like, putting this character together.
You said you pour yourself into the costume and I'm just like, no, stop there. You guys, nobody's helping.
Oh yeah, we have help.
Oh,
we have
okay. Help.
We don't need the help because now it's just a lot easier to get yourself in it.
Okay.
Than to try to have someone help you.
Yeah.
It sounds like so many steps, you know?
And we have it down to a science now. That's why it's just easier for us to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do understand that.
Yeah.
Give me a theatrical experience that you want to be a part of.
Ooh.
Something you have yet to do.
Any show with my brother.
Oh, my God. I'd love to see that.
You're trying to make people cry.
No, and by that's, people, that's I mean my me. Ideal. Yeah. That's my ideal role. I don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would look like. But we were both in Motown and in different cast. He was on the Broadway cast. I was on the touring cast. And then when I got to Broadway, he was in Hamilton. So we like missed each other. But like, man, that would be so much fun.
That would be incredible.
Any show with Martina and her brother.
No, I'm sorry. Answer.
Yo, no, I would love to. There's a character called Belize in Angels in America that I would love to play someday. Wow. Also, Sweeney Todd is one of my favorite musicals. And Hamilton is still on my list.
Still there.
Still on my list. Strange Loop is also a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I love the subject matter and the fact that it's sort of challenging, too. Also reminds me of my life. So those are a few.
I like that.
Yeah.
Y'all know how to answer questions. Like, in the best way. If you could just very briefly... let us know what it's like, what it has been to play this role and to be on tour, because tour is a whole different story, right? That's a whole different world.
The experience of The Lion King is like, it's like no other. It's an incredible experience. But I think what makes like he said, you're an athlete and you're an actor, but what makes it so unique is our South African cast members being able to share in their culture, and they don't have any reservations about sharing their culture, themselves, their language mm-hmm. with us and teaching us how to pronounce things correctly and sharing holidays. And it's just, and even our Mufasa is Samoan mm-hmm. and he teaches us about his culture and his language, and being in a show that is so vastly different, mm-hmm. you know, that has been like the biggest takeaway and the biggest blessing for me yet. Because it's not just the singing and the acting, but you're telling the story, like one by one, the song that opens up the second act, mm-hmm. that's about apartheid.
Okay.
So learning the history of that, learning what the wigs and the makeup mean for the different African tribes, because it all means something.
Yeah.
That has been like the biggest lesson, the biggest blessing, the most exhilarating part of Lion King that I've experienced. And your second question, touring. You remember when Michael Jackson was like, no, but I mean,
I love to tour.
but touring is a lot. I will say that being in different cities and seeing how each region, each city experiences the show,
yeah.
That's incredible, because the joke that Portland gets is a joke that Chicago won't get, right. And vice versa. And being able to bring the story into cities where you know people are so excited to have you there. You are the thing that they got dressed up to, they got a babysitter for. Like, all of that is just such an amazing and an incredible experience. And to be able to have that person-to-person interaction while you're on stage, looking in the faces and watching people cry and gasp, that's amazing.
Y'all can see it.
And that's past the first three rows, but we're also in the elephant. Mm.
So right, we gotta start with that.
Yeah.
We're also the elephant. We're also just the elephant. Real quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
The breathtaking elephant that makes everybody. I was lucky enough to watch the show with the ladies of this show last night. And because I've seen it before, I love watching other people experience things. And I told them, I hope I don't, you know, weird you out, but I am going to like at some point just stare at you, because there are moments, right?
Yeah.
And the second the elephant came out, they were like,
yeah.
So, okay, that's y'all.
Love that.
Wow, amazing. Yeah,
so that is amazing. But like the picking up and packing every 3 to 4 weeks, oof. The traveling, that is a lot rougher on the body than I think I could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I always wanted to travel for work. Like, oh, if I can get a job that, you know, I get to travel and that's going to be so great. And then when you travel for work, if it's, you know, sporadic, it's like, oh, I get to go on a work trip. This is great. My dad did that where he's just like all over the place, and it was all over regionally. It wasn't too far, but it was like, how are you not tired? You just drove 8 hours to this place and then now you're doing a thing and now you're driving 6 hours to the other place. I actually don't want it. That's not the travel I meant. But then I think about it and I'm like, you don't settle, right? Mm-hmm. You don't get a chance to settle. So that has to be hard on the body, hard on your, you know, spirit.
Yeah. And missing family.
Yeah, missing family. And I think what was surprising for me, like when I first started, is even other people in theater don't realize with this tour specifically, like we don't stop, you know? So I'm always getting the question, when are you back home? When are you back to, when's your break? We don't really get one, because people really want to see Lion King.
Yeah.
You know, which is a blessing for work. And also it is a particular sort of challenge when you want to stay engaged in life outside of the show, you know, with your family and friends.
Yes.
FaceTime comes in handy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, how do we it seems as if we're probably making friends in the cast, right? Like there's some family feeling elements there. Yeah. But
yes.
Do you ever see your friends in real life from your outside of work? You know, does that ever happen?
Yeah. I mean, they'll come to us, you know.
Okay.
And then when you take your vacation, you go to them and, you know, or if you have an extra couple of days off because it's going to take longer to get to the next city, then, you know, you take that opportunity to go home and love on the people you need to love on, or take those personal days and prioritize, you know, being there for people.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. My last question, and it's coming from exactly that. When you go on vacation, where do you go?
So my last one was Cancun. That's my first solo trip.
Solo trip.
So for my first one. And then this September, I'm going with my mom, our first duo trip to London. And then I'm going to go somewhere else after that on my own.
So you liked it?
I loved it.
You loved going by yourself.
I loved it. I love it. You know, it's just so much freedom also. Yeah. Very relaxing. Mm-hmm.
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah. So I can't wait to do it again.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you think like 2 solo trips a year?
Yes.
So the last place I went to, where did I go? Oh, I went to Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. On this year's list is Italy.
Okay.
I want to get my Eat, Pray, Love on. Emphasize the eat part. And I want to go to Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And you will go to Costa Rica.
Yes.
Because you take 2 solo trips a year.
Yes. We just got to look into them spiders a little bit more.
I started earlier and said that we are kindred spirits. It is absolutely true. That is one thing that makes me hesitant for certain places. If you are as big as me, I have questions. Do I need to be there? Maybe I shouldn't be there.
Yeah, because if you're here, maybe I should.
Yeah, maybe you know, I am not the apex predator, you know? I'll be over here. I don't bite. I don't have poison. None of those things.
Yeah.
I'll just be here. Thank y'all so much for doing this, for being on tour, for being Black performers, because that is a hard world on its own. And to be in such a involved show. So I really appreciate y'all coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. And we are back. First and foremost, we just want to say a huge thank you to Morgan, our correspondent, and Martina and Forrest. That interview, just so inspirational. So grateful that we got the chance to have y'all on our show.
Mm-hmm. I'm just so, so, so thankful. And I'm thankful for you, Gabby, for sharing this space every time.
And I'm thankful for you, Kanda.
And I'm thankful for our listeners. Absolutely. I want to take the time to just close out like we are going to do, and as we normally do, by saying that even though we live in a world that doesn't always create space for us as marginalized people and for our listeners as marginalized people, we want to let you know that you belong in this room and you belong in this space.
Yay.
This is a space for you.
We are so thankful for you for listening, and we hope that you will come back and join us in the theater.
Bye.